True prayer is in response or in harmony or in agreement with the Word of God. Daniel takes up intercession for his people based on what he knows is God's will. This is an essential element of prayer. You say, well, if he knew this was going to happen because Jeremiah said it was going to happen, and if he knew that he said it was going to happen after 70 years and the 70 years was up, then what is there to pray for? That's a fair question to ask. It's not a simplistic question to answer, other than to say this: God will do what he does when he says he will do it. God is faithful to his promise. God always keeps his word, never deviates from his word. He's absolutely sovereign, always accomplishes his purpose. It can never be thwarted. He did say after 70 years, Babylon will be destroyed. They were. After 70 years, I'll bring the people back. They were brought back. And you ask the question, why are we to pray? And the answer is because all prayer is to be in accord with, in agreement with, in harmony with, and in response to God's word. You think about John at the end of the book of Revelation. He's had, like Daniel, visions of the future coming of Christ. And at the end of the book of Revelation, in the final chapter, Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly." And what is John's response? Good. Is that what he said? No. He says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And that might seem to you like a strange prayer in light of the fact that Jesus said he was coming. But that is, in essence, the nature of prayer. Prayer finds its foundation in the purposes of God. Prayer is when you align your heart to God's purposes. It's when you say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," even though you know it will be. Sovereignty of God, the inviolable purposes of God, prophetic revelation, promises of God do not preclude prayer. They do not preclude supplication. Rather, they call for it. We pray in response to God's revealed plan. We pray primarily to line our hearts up with divine purposes. You could ask the same question about why do we witness to anybody? God's going to save whom he's going to save. But he's chosen personal testimony and the preaching of the gospel to be the means by which he saves his own. And he's chosen prayer to be the means by which he accomplishes his purpose. That's why James could say the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. God chooses not only the ends, but he chooses the means. Apart from that, it is of immense benefit in communing with God to line yourselves up with his will. Daniel realized that prayer was an element in the fulfillment of the word, but it wasn't that technical understanding that caused him to pray. He wasn't just saying, "I'd like to be in on the deal here." He couldn't help himself because his love for God was so great, his attachment to God so profound, his desire for the purposes of God to be revealed was so encompassing that he couldn't restrain himself from pleading for God to do what he knew God would do. Prayer is primarily a way to line our hearts up with God's purposes. He knew the certainty of divine promise. He knew the certainty of divine purpose. He understood the sovereignty of God. At the same time, he was a man of incessant prayer.
Now that you've heard from John, let us know what you think. Go to gty.org/audioblog and leave your comment. Again, that's gty.org/audioblog.